with that introduction historically to the kind of project we're talking about, I'd now like to turn the session over to Philip Salas, who is Assistant Vice Chancellor for Research at the Auckland University of Technology and is also head of the Software Engineering Research Labs at Auckland University of Technology, and to Brendan Dobbs, who is one of the programmers attached to the Auckland University of Technology Technology Park, to present first version of the kind of thing that we're hoping to create, which to some extent will be as much new to me as it is to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Mark and Bill, for having us here. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back in UCSB. This whole issue came up, I think, 4 or 5 years ago when I was here on sabbatical working with Larry Carver and Catherine Marcy here on the Alexandria Digital Library project. And Mark convinced me that his ideas for the Camillo implementation could take some kind of form if he could get some time with me other than over a bottle of wine, which, by the way, is where we'd have all of our epistemological discussions. This is a real change of gear in today's proceedings. What we're about to do is not play baseball. What we're about to do is to give a very pragmatic description of what we've been doing to implement this Camillo Theatre concept. So I'd like to introduce Brendan, who's Senior Research Fellow, in fact, at the Software Engineering Laboratory, and who's going to sit here and drive the system when I snap my fingers, and myself, as Mark introduced. Because we were told this would be a mixed audience, there's a couple of slides in here that talks about the Software Engineering Laboratory and what software engineering is, and I think actually it's a reasonable thing to do because of all of the discussion that I've heard this morning has been about dialogue, in fact. You wrap it up in whatever language you like, but it's about how we share knowledge and how we find the wisdom, as that well-known philosopher said, in that knowledge. And so I think that saying, well, this is where we're coming from, we hear a little of where you're coming from, is not such a bad way to consider how you move from concept, from rhetoric, from that kind of dialogue into practical implementation. I must also say that we're using the technology of today. There was some discussion about nanotechnology and other aspects of the future for IT earlier on, and really what we're talking about here is very much using the tools that are available for a very practical implementation as a first run at this issue. That horrible blob up there, by the way, is a picture of a brain. Know-it-all came to me at about 11 p.m. one day when I thought, this is silly calling it the blah, 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 blah prototype. So we dubbed it know-it-all for want of a better term. We're talking about a knowledge-sharing interface environment. Thanks, Brendan. So the Software Engineering Research Laboratory, which you can find at that web address, is where we are. And we define software engineering, which has as many definitions, I think, as the ways in which my name is usually pronounced, as combining computational methods, tools, and techniques that integrate application ideas with computer systems and related technologies to develop operational environments that engage with workplace context. As I said earlier, I think that's not a bad place to start when we're talking about how we get to implementation. Thanks, Brendan. So in this presentation then, we're going to describe our interest in the conference and being here and meeting some old friends and meeting some new, to give a conceptual overview of our work and to demonstrate our beta product called Know-It-All. And then outline our ideas for future work. Our friend from France apologised for his accent. I'm not going to apologise for my accent, but I will apologise for the New Zealand English spelling on the slides for those that are upset by that. Thank you. So, from our point of view, combining digital interface concepts with other work that we're doing in trying to be innovative in the software tools that we're developing for internet applications brings us to a point where the things that you people are talking about are of great interest to us, because we need to know what sort of interfaces the future demands will hold. It relates to some of our other projects, certainly in computer systems performance and user evaluation, because the interface, the thing on the screen, if we were the current technology, is where the real evaluation takes place. As Sarah was saying, a user or a library is only interested in how well they're treated when they go to check out their book. Whether or not they can actually find what they want is another matter. So we're interested in that kind of evaluation. I've done work in the past, some here with Catherine and others, in text processing, and have a background in computational linguistics and NLP, and also have done natural language processing, that is, and have also undertaken some work in discourse analysis and email traffic analysis. I might also say, although I have a PhD in computer science, I have degrees in history and theology as well, and so I kind of feel a bit like I'm part of the family, but just outside, you know. I don't often get to speak at humanities conferences these days. As I say, this all began in 1996, as far as I can remember, when I was on sabbatical here at UCSB. So what is this knowledge sharing interface concept? Well, it's, as I say, using current technologies. It's a web-based network of researchers who wish to share materials, knowledge, expertise, insights, and collectively some wisdom through that. It's a sense of establishing a virtual community of scholars, all who have their version of the Camillo Theatre before them and need to go to multiple levels or depths of relationship and association of those artefacts in other Camillo theatres or versions of Camillo theatres. The participants in this community of scholars use a common personal desktop interface, and you'll be seeing that shortly. So the screen presentation, the system functionality, the data organisation structure are common to the members of this virtual community, so the associations are seamless in terms of that kind of functionality. And as I was explaining to Mark in science, we often talk about the XYZ theorem or whatever. I just dubbed this the Camillo Meadow knowledge relationship structure. Thank you. Someone should write that down. This is a historic moment. So an individual scholar's objects of knowledge network looks a bit like this. We have a brain up on the left-hand side that knows about people, about contacts that the individual scholar has, about images, documents, sounds, links to other information sources and knowledge bases. Those things are in our minds one way or another, but they're also, on the right-hand side we have a picture of a computer, we know that they can be stored in our local computer that we're using on our desktop or in somebody else's or on a server or whatever. All of those artifacts, if we call them, use that term, are representable. We can store them, they're physical, we can get to them, we can interpret them in a number of ways. So if we regard that as being an individual scholars' objects of knowledge network, thanks, we can then think about how we might associate our individual scholars' network with everybody else's. And they can all be in different locations. We've got UCSB, AUT, London, Johns Hopkins, it doesn't matter where they are, really. What we have is locations for those physical entities. They're somewhat in the minds of the individuals, but they are also stored in various ways on in various places. Thanks. The top part of that slide is something that's called client-server architecture, which has been, till recently, the most popular way of distributing data in a network. That is that we have a very large computer we call a server and a lot of other smaller computers called clients, and we relate back and forth between the client and the server to provide individual devices with shared knowledge. And in fact we can get from, in that it says PC, so we can get from one personal computer to another personal computer, of course, but in that particular architecture as defined, then we'd be pulling off data from the server and negotiating from each of those clients. The second part of the slide is a more recent technology I'm sure you've heard of called peer-to-peer or P2P architecture, which effectively does away with the server and replaces it by a network of collaborating associated devices and data structures for communicating. So that the peer-to-peer approach to the architecture that we would overlay on the slide that was there previously that showed those different collections of artifacts is the architecture that we've adopted for this particular project. Thanks. The core technologies that are used here, the software we have is compatible with Mac OS, Windows, Linux and other operating systems such as Solaris, so it's a very OS dependent, operating system independent environment. That the application integration between KnowItAll and other well-known pieces of software, packages such as Word, Excel, Photoshop, etc., is a core technology that we have in place here, so that integration is seamless and data can be converted and transferred between them. For those that have heard of the Java programming language, which is a popular internet application development platform, a programming language, it's developed using Java. And the prototype, all of the coding has been done by Brendan, so it's all his fault. Don't ask me any questions about that. It uses the data transfer interchange protocol, XML, which you may have heard of, and uses that peer-to-peer collaborative environment compared with the client-server platform I mentioned before. So that's there really just to show that where it sits in the scheme of things. It's Brendan. We believe that what KnowItAll is doing then is extending related information management technologies. So word processing and graphics software, database management software such as Access, Microsoft Access, internet browsers like Internet Explorer, Netscape and so on for general information retrieval, links to appropriate databases, information sources and news groups or user groups, and links to library collections and bibliographic information services is those connections are what helps to build up the kernel of the collaborative environment that exists relating to the individual scholar's knowledge base. And so that it's not merely a matter of individuals having their own sets of data and having some communication between one another, it is actually relating to a wider source, if you like, a universal source of information using standard core technologies and these related information management technologies. Thanks, Brendan. So that's what you've just seen on Mark's slide as interpreted in our first run prototype of the Kimelo Theatre. That is the interface that the individual scholar would have at the screen face, and in a moment you'll see that in operation if our movie plays properly, and you'll see how these cells, if you like, in this kind of bent matrix, this theatre form, relate to objects, other objects and other artifacts of knowledge in the theatre. But that is a depiction of the Kimelo Theatre as we have it at the moment. So what we're about to show you then is at the personal knowledge base housekeeping level, sitting at the computer, as the graphic shows there, what sort of things might happen. Now, I need to explain that we were going to actually do this live. We were going to hook up to the internet and do this live. We then decided that we'd develop a couple of movies to show you how it worked, and we also had some kind of transcripted kind of Bill and Bob thing over here to get it to go. So we're not going to do it on the internet live for one technology reason. We're going to show you one of the two movies for one technology reason, and we can't show you everything for another technology reason. So this is the real world, folks. But we are going to show you how to create knowledge objects, create relationships between objects, drill down from a top level object on those cells to subordinate objects, how we establish that community of scholars from our own desktop, and how we search, identify and select related objects from related scholars and their knowledge bases using the internet and other information and knowledge sources. So we'll go as far as we can with this, and I'll let Brendan just speak to it.
Sure.
You might have to stand up.
Excuse me, I'll just open up. Thank you. Okay, so the quality here is not very good, so hopefully everyone can sort of read what we have there. Starting off, we're actually defining a new cell. It's just doing there. Takes a wee while for it to actually get going. It's this late last night. Okay, so there we go. We're going to enter in a label here. I can actually read that myself to know what's going on there, but at the same time, we're also going to add some related cells. And as you'll see, when we go back to the main interface, it'll actually rearrange that whole theater. Okay. Any second there. Right, so when Camillo becomes the focus cell, you can see the red cells on the side there. Those are the related cells. Now, just drill down to the next level. Now that we're at a lower level, every object we actually add at that level is also visible at the parent level. So defining a new cell, and after that we'll actually add some objects to that as well. At the top, if you can see, that's the parent cell there. So we're actually having a person, which is myself. And if I remember correctly, I don't think I can actually read what it is, but it was the resource manager. Basically, we have a sub-cell of Camillo, which is the resource manager, and because I'm involved with the resource manager, I am one of the contact people. Okay. Late last night, hence the slow typing. Okay, and the next one I think I did was community. Oh, okay, here we go. It's just to show that you can actually then open up the contacts and actually view what you've added. Sure. Okay. Well, this we're adding an image here again to the same cell, the resource manager. It's pretty hard for me to actually follow up with that. Let's read it. Okay. By default, it used the file name. We're just changing that there to be something a little more descriptive of what the actual image is, because those names are actually used in the search, not the file names. So every object needs to have a label. And here we go, it's a hot link. It'll open up that image. Okay. And that interfaces with whatever applications you use, so it's totally dependent on what operating system you're actually using. And the last one, this is probably the most powerful feature of the software, which we can't actually show at all because the P2P side of it's not there. This is creating a community that people can sort of interact and share their knowledge. Once you create the community, it'll actually refresh any second. Okay, there it is, the third one along the bottom there. That community is now available for everyone else to interact and share knowledge. And here I'm showing an actual search form. So we have a list up on the left-hand side. There's a list of all the different types of objects. So if you're just searching for maybe images, you could select images, do a search, and it shows you not only the name of the actual files that your objects that you've found, but who actually owns them as well. And the idea with that is that once you've found an owner of something you want, then you can actually link it back to your own theatre and sort of it's transparent when you're navigating through the system as to whether it's in your theatre or someone else's. It just sort of links in. And I think that's it. Okay, I've got to load that up again.
Okay, thanks, Brendan. It is difficult to see that, but the idea was to give some kind of impression of how the interaction occurs. What we thought we would do is make ourselves available to actually run some demonstrations for those people who are interested in seeing that, and so you can actually come and build some of these communities and do some navigating around. So, and if we're really lucky, we might actually get on the internet and do it for you in real life. But that is how it would look anyhow. That's how we would start. And then, of course, as an individual doing all that kind of local knowledge management and making those associations, we also are part of this virtual community of scholars. So having established a community of scholars, we want to view the communities, member theatres, and there's some security issues and all of that. So there's permissions and so on that need to be made available, obviously, from members of the community. The peer-to-peer functionality that allows us to chat between scholars and do searches, selects and so on to associate with local objects, to access documents, papers, courseware maybe, contacts, people, images, sounds, references, bibliographies and other links. So all of that stuff we can show if we sit and do a demonstration, which we're delighted to do over the next couple of days. Thanks. Okay, so where do we go from here? As I said, this is very much a demonstration of what we've done. But we have talked a great deal with Mark. Mark was in New Zealand just last year, and we talked a great deal about how we might move forward with a product such as this, and in fact not only use the existing technologies, but do consider some of the potential using other artificial intelligence techniques, some of the other intelligent agent software work that we're doing would feed into that. So in association with Mark and some of his colleagues, we'd like to try and access some funds to do that so we can move forward operationally with the development of this prototype. We'd like to evangelise, the only word I can think of, it's my theological background, evangelise the concept of know-it-all to grow these virtual communities of scholars, because we, in testing out the theory, as it were, we need some practice. We really need to have this concept tested by a community of scholars, so any volunteers should sign up with Mark. and in fact, part of that, I guess, I should say, is to develop some kind of management of this whole process as well. And we've so far we've regarded Microcosms as being that virtual manager of this in operation. We'd also like to extend this into some other research, so we're not only giving talks on the pragmatics of it, related research such as thematic and contextual studies to gain insights into the inter-scholar discourse and the dialogue threads, if you like, that take place, and the topic concentration, the intersection in humanities research, to provide knowledge object content, as it were, for know-it-all, so to build up the body of knowledge, the corpus that relates to this activity, that will give us an idea of how the knowledge is being used, where the topic concentrations are, and where the themes are developing. So something of a research nature there we would like to pursue. To try and integrate this with other information management products that we're building and developing, particularly in the area of information analysis and interpretation, and the provision, if you like, of information nuggets, for want of a better word, that could feed into a general universal discourse for this sort of work. So that's it, really. Thanks for listening. We can take some questions on this, but I really think that for those that are interested in pursuing it, other than talking with Mark about where he feels the project's going to go within Microcosms, that we're more than happy to demonstrate the system today and tomorrow for those who would like to see it. Thank you.